Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Oh, hello, everybody. Welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
It's for all you. Hallie, how you doing?
Girl, we haven't seen each other, spoken in a week. We had a week off.
Yeah, I was on the road, so.
On the road again.
On the road again.
Also, we never talked on the pod the fact that you did your abortion show at the fucking Kennedy Center.
Yes.
I realize I'm so sorry we didn't talk about that experience.
Well, like also
but the listeners might. It's interesting and it's exciting.
We live out of time because we're always like, ahead and then also behind. So like,
I like not having to be of the minute.
Yeah,
personally.
We really are just floating on a interdimensional plane, I think.
Gals in the void. That's what I'm always saying.
Gals in the void. That's gals something. Void.
That's merch. Let me write that down.
Gals in the void. That is honestly, whoever is working on this episode, please, let's make Gals in the Void merch.
All right, write it down. Because that's what you have to do now, unfortunately, is you have to immediately make merch. And that's true. My job, it's crazy. Like, if you have a brand in any way, it is merch. And also, I buy it. I love merch.
I love merch. Lisa Traeger, a friend of the pod, has some great merch out right now. And I was like, I got to buy her merch.
There are individual people I like so much that, like, if you put on a t-shirt just about you as a person, I fucking buy it and wear it.
Yeah.
Which is probably not good, but I guess that's capitalism for you. So,
I mean, I'd rather do that than wear, like, a shirt that advertises a brand.
No, absolutely, which was such a thing when we were growing up. I feel it like when we were younger,
like
it
Gap,
was all yes.
Abercrombie.
And then, like, remember those hideous Dooney and Burke bags, like those logo bags? So nasty.
And, like,
so, yes,
the Louis Vuitton Murakami bag that then they got, like,
up.
Duped a million times. And
not that we would ever have one, but I remember even, if you're younger, being like, oh, okay. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, just buy a knockoff.
Right.
I can't tell the difference.
No, no.
It's all
That's
made
like
up anyway.
That's a whole thing now. There's, like, you can buy, like, high-end knockoffs. It's like a whole like industry. And I'm like, just buy something you like.
I know. And it's like, how do you find out what you like when you are inundated again with like, well, I got to buy these shoes.
Right.
Someone's talking to me about Hokas and because I want to buy like a pair of shoes. I'm like, I'm looking at it. I'm like, I find these disgusting.
Yeah. I've heard they are outrageously comfortable.
That's
though.
The
so
thing.
I so am kind I- of interested. If you order them, let's talk about them on the pod.
And let's be honest, as a woman of a certain age, I would take comfort over an attractive shoe that feels bad anyways.
Yes, I am done with uncomfortable shoes.
Just cycle back anyways. Thank you for buying our merch. We will continue to make merch, and we really appreciate you purchasing it.
Yeah.
Other than that, God, I'm about to have 2 weeks off, not off from work, but I work on the podcast Love It or Leave It for Kirkin Media, which is also the company through which we put out this podcast, and we have 2 weeks down for the holidays. And God, I need it. My head is full of hot sand.
Yeah. This time of year, things really, like, I'm always just, like, melting into a puddle of nothing.
Yeah, and I guess with the strike, I mean, how you doing with that?
You know, it is fun to see celebs and be out on the picket line. I was walking behind F. Murray Abraham the other day.
Oh, my God.
And he was just
incredible.
Out carrying a sign. And when cars would honk and trucks would honk, he would kind of put his fist up being so excited. And I was like, oh, man, you seem great.
That's amazing. I'm going to go to the picket line here because I haven't been able to, you know, because of my day job. But
during
I'm
work,
like, what else am I fucking doing, you know?
Right. That's a fun thing. You get some steps in.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, I will say the one good thing this week, I don't know if you followed, there's in Ohio that vote.
Yes, of course.
And again, we've talked about this a million times on the podcast, but sort of like, I do think, you know, again, anyone further left than Republicans. You don't want to get your hopes up. But I really do think overturning Roe v. Wade and then immediately attacking trans people, I believe, is proving to be a losing decision.
I agree.
It is losing propaganda.
It is
for the
not,
right.
Neither of those things is actually popular.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, especially abortion. But I think most people are like, I don't know, trans people, like, let them do whatever. I don't care.
Exactly. It's not something to hang your hat on.
It's a small vocal minority that makes it seem like these are incredibly divisive issues. And they aren't.
Yes.
And when democracy is let to be democracy and people get to actually vote, abortion and trans rights and gay rights and all those things, like, they win because that's people want them.
Yeah, and there is just, like, the disgusting vociferousness of, like, that fringe part of the right where it's, like, unless you're a complete fucking maniac, it's very hard to be like, oh, I'm like this person. Does that make sense? Like,
yes,
I'm like this, like, ravening, hateful maniac. Most people don't think of themselves that way now that they aren't potentially manipulated by those parts of themselves.
Totally.
But I think it's like, this is a losing battle. Again, you don't want to get your hopes up. But it made me extremely happy that, again, the right is always pretending like they're going to have these, like, fucking sweeping successes. And also, Ron DeSantis' campaign is fucking eating shit.
It's so funny.
I still feel horrible for everyone who lives in Florida Texas, obviously. But it does make me not like, I just feel like, okay, so there is possibility for things to not be worse than they are, and they could become better. And it is just, everything is important. Every one of these in every state. And I don't know. I just wanted to bring it up as like, okay, well, I took some solace of
yes,
you know, people came out, people voted, people like care.
Yeah.
And people understand, you know, this wasn't even a vote on abortion. This was a vote on like how Ohio changes
how the
Constitution.
State, yeah.
Which is a more obscure idea to begin with, so it's just nice to see people be like, "Fuck off."
Yeah.
Not of course that they won't try this kind of thing again. On abortion, obviously.
Yeah, they're gonna keep doing it, but
yeah,
some hope, some optimism as we move into what is inevitably going to be a psychotic election cycle.
Girl, and it is what it is. You know, it's like. Until we fundamentally change society, which we do have to do.
Yeah. We should get on that.
Where it's like, oh, this is the most important election of our lifetime. Every one of them is, unfortunately, because it's like, who nominates federal judges? Like, who puts in Supreme Court justices? Like,
for life.
Yes. For life. That's the other thing. Oh, that fucking...
Clarence Thomas's new sugar daddies.
Two new sugar daddies that weren't even in his disclosure. It turns out he's fucking... I don't even know why he has time to be a Supreme Court justice.
Honestly.
38 destination fucking vacations. And again, like, the idea that, like, oh, he's like, I'm sorry, I'll just put it in now. It's not good. But other than that, I'm good. How you doing, Allison? Is there anything else?
I'm good. There's really nothing else I got going on. I will say a quick little thing is last night I was at a bar with some pals, just doing some comedy shit talk and hanging out and having drinks. And the bar had homemade Chex Mix. And I gotta say, that needs to be everywhere.
I think you should make some at home. That feels really up your alley.
Right, yeah, like super garlicky, kind of spicy, like tons of, controversially, I love the rye chip. That's like my favorite one.
Oh, so. I love the rye chip.
Yeah.
You'll hear no complaint from me about the rye chip.
I wouldn't expect to. So anyway, that's what I would like to
delicious.
Add to our discussion is that I had some Chex Mix last night and it is inspiring me to make some.
Also, I realize I should have thought of this, but this actually comes out on the 22nd of August. And unfortunately, Allison cannot attend, but I will be introducing a movie at American Cinematheque's Friend of the Fest at Los Feliz 3. In case you live in Los Angeles, I will be introducing the Babadook, of course, a beloved. Thank you. Oh my God, is he here?
He's on mic.
So unfortunately, Allison can't make it, but I will be introducing it, and then we'll enjoy the Babadook. In case you are someone who has seen it or can actually watch horror movies, we did talk about if Allison came, you were like, "Do I have to watch it?" I was like, "No, just go wait at a bar. Yeah. Don't force yourself to watch it."
I was like, "Oh no, we're really getting into what I didn't want this podcast to become, which is me watching scary things."
You will never have to do that.
Thank you.
Not on my watch, no. Allison.
Minimal amount of watching. Yes. So. LA, please come to that. And everyone else, we're doing another live show Sunday, August 27th at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Get your tickets at moment.co/ruined so I can ruin Sharknado for Hallie. That's and what's happening. So
I truly can't wait.
The How those sharks for the get in there? The tagline for the movie is, enough said.
I love that shit.
It's like on the poster. The poster is deranged. I just am so psyched. We're going to have so much fun. So get your tickets, moment.co/ruined, Sunday, August 27th.
Yes, the writer is Thunder Levin. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yes. Yes.
Hell yeah. And shout out to my mother. I feel like my mother and I, one crossover of our tastes are the Sharknadoes, but they are the snakes on a plane.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean,
yes.
They are a, like, you know, here we are.
Yes.
Enough said.
Enough said.
Great. Well, let's get into it. Enough said about that.
Enough said.
We're continuing our vacation horror movies with a movie I had long been meaning to watch and simply hadn't gotten around to, but a delightful little film from 2019 called The Beach House.
Yes.
It was written and directed by Jeffrey A. Brown as his feature directorial debut, and absolutely a treat, and absolutely a simple premise, a simple movie with very few cast members and beautifully done.
Yeah.
Allison, we also like to have Allison watch the trailer. Allison, what are your thoughts about the Beach House trailer?
Chilling. Really upsetting. Seems like violent sexual assault is possibly, or at least some violence.
I was like, did we watch the wrong trailer? It's totally, who cares? I mean, you know.
Is Murray Bartlett in this?
Let me see. No.
I almost checked with you to be like, was it, because it was 2018. Like it came,
this
like
2019.
Okay. See, that's like, I feel like even if I had asked, you would have been like, oh yeah, probably. Like, I feel like it.
Yeah.
Well,
that's there totally is, fine.
There is a pretty fucked up movie called The Beach House, or Beach Ooh, House with
oh my
Murray
God.
Bartlett. And like, it looks like it's like this woman's like ex from years ago comes to their beach house. And then he is like a photographer who takes violent photos that like depict violence. And then like he falls in love with their like 19-year-old daughter. I don't know. It looks really fucked. Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
We should do that one.
Well, we should. It definitely looked scary.
There's also a 2018 movie, The Beach House, starring Minka Kelly, Andy McDowell, and Chad Michael Murray. It is a Lifetime movie.
Okay, well, that's one that I would watch.
About a woman who's tried to move beyond a difficult past, but is forced to grapple with history head on when she returns to fix the family's beach house. Unfortunately, this movie, the beach house will not be fixed because what happens at the beach house stays at the beach house. But then, unfortunately, also spreads to the rest of the world.
okay. Well, I can't weigh in on the trailer. I didn't watch it. I watched something else.
What was the scariest thing about the trailer you watched?
The guy is showing Polaroids to the daughter, and it's her, but she doesn't remember it happening.
That's terrifying.
Yeah,
sorry, that sounds horrible. We're not doing that one.
Yeah, okay.
This is not...
Anyway, that was scary.
All right. Well, we'll eventually have to get around to that one.
Yes.
Allison, how would you feel? Well, we always like to take a baseline scary. Allison, of the movie we're actually doing today, Allison, how scary would you find it if there was something wrong with the water?
Oh, no.
I know.
The water in the plumbing or the water in the ocean?
Oh, the water just about everywhere.
Oh, no.
The water is all connected. It all meets up with each other.
That
with
is
itself.
Terrifying. I don't like the water getting messed with. And also, like, you don't even realize how much water you're, like, when you're at a beach house, like, you're in water. You're constantly showering. You're drinking water. You clean things. Like,
cooking.
You're cooking.
Yeah. Unfortunately, and I will say, like, one of my top fears is the day we all wake up and we turn on the faucet and there's no water.
I know.
And I don't want that to happen, but it looms large in my imagination.
Absolutely.
And I was at a party. I'm like so unhinged right now. And that's just where I'm at in my queer journey and journey in general. I went to a party with coworkers, and someone was saying like, oh, whatever, blah, blah. And I was like, it's not going to happen because we're not doing anything about climate change. We're going to be sucking dirty water out of our old newspapers out of the garbage dump. And like, as soon as I said it, I'm like, we're at a party.
I'm sorry.
We're at a party. I don't want to
enjoy yourself, aren't you? I'm clearly not.
we all should still be caring about this. But yeah, it was like, oh, I shouldn't even be at a party right now.
Yeah, I get that.
Would you like to guess the twist of the movie we are doing, which, of course, we have not seen the trailer for? And you know only one thing about it, which is water. Allison, there's something wrong with the water.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Guess the twist.
Here, let me add one thing about the water.
Oh, yes.
It feels different.
Okay. I'm going to guess that there was nuclear testing somewhere.
Ooh,
and
great.
It's like the water is different, but it's from that as a source. And it's changing how people like feel and act and behave.
Great. Perfect guess. No notes. I did try to Google a fact about water, and
oh, what'd you find out?
Well, in 2011, it's today, an article published: Indiana mom dies of water toxicity, and apparently she was thirsty and drank 4 bottles of water in 20 minutes.
Yes,
and died. And I was like, I absolutely could and might actually die this way. Yeah. I could absolutely drink way too much water.
I would say that I am usually drinking more water than less water in comparison to, like, what we're supposed to have. Like,
exactly.
I drink a lot of water. I'm drinking water now, not to brag.
Okay, brag much. I'm drinking water and a coffee, which is water in a
That's
way.
That's 2 waters. That's bean water and water, regular water.
Let's see what happens to our the 4 people we meet up at the beach house.
Oh, okay.
In this film, let us begin ruining 2019's The Beach House.
Not to be confused with 2018's The Beach House.
Right, which we already have, apparently. We open on a glimmering blue ocean, and the water dances across it. We plunge beneath the surface, Allison, where we find nothing. Or do we? No, unfortunately, we see what appears to be silt or sediment sort of billowing up from the depths of the ocean.
Okay.
And it looks almost like black smoke pouring out of, like, deep sea coral. So there's some sort of vent or something that is spewing some sort of sediment from the deep up towards the beach house.
The beach house.
Now, it's shot in Cape Cod, and I guess I have never been to Cape Cod because I was like, are we in Delaware? Are we in Maine? I couldn't place.
It's gorgeous.
And because it's like long, like tall grass, but like big houses that aren't crowded. So you're not getting a boardwalk. You know what I mean?
This is not like
that kind of beach.
But it's also not the Hamptons.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not the West Coast, obviously.
Yeah.
We meet up with our protagonists, Emily and Randall, who are college students. They're driving up towards the beach house, which is Randall's parents' place. And Randall's dad is named Doc, which I think is a cute nickname. And Emily gets out of the car. She's like, wow, there really is no one here. He's like, oh, it's off season. No one's here until after Memorial Day. It implies that they're going, I think they're like on spring break or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they're 5 weeks from the end of the semester. So let's say it's spring break. They're here.
Sure.
And she's like, great. We have the whole beach to ourselves. That sounds fun. They have recently reconnected. So they are, you know, they're back in it. They are extremely horny. They're like passionately kissing, and as they walk in, Randall tells her, I've been thinking about this. You have no idea. And she tells him, I missed you. And they immediately go upstairs to fuck. And afterwards, Randall's asleep. It's like the middle of the day, and Emily listens to the ocean. It made me want to go to a beach house so fucking bad.
God, I love the beach.
Ooh. And just like,
I haven't been like at all. I was in the Hamptons for a few hours doing shows, and we carved out an hour to go to the beach. And I was like, man, I love it here.
I should have made plans to travel when I was off from work. But
it's like, that's the last thing you want
to
do.
Exactly. Going to the airport, that part, I just can't stand.
No.
We see Emily. She just puts on her shirt and goes to the bathroom. Allison, when she's in the bathroom, she washes her hands, and we can see from the way she's sort of handling it, the water already doesn't feel right. But that's such a specific personal interpretation of a sensory thing.
Yes.
That she's like, I don't know what this means, but it's probably fine.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have time for that because she looks, and there's a weekly pill reminder case on the sink. And she opens a medicine cabinet. It's full of a ton of medication and personal items. Whose shit is this?
Yeah,
in the beach house.
Okay.
She goes downstairs.
And where are they?
They go downstairs, and she finds there's, like, breakfast dishes on the counter. There's still, like, a pan with, like, egg residue. And she looks, and to see the and sees the patio door open and a woman walk in. Meanwhile, Emily's just wearing a shirt and kind of like ducks behind the doorway to see. And we watch the woman sit down. We see her from behind, and we hear her doing something, which has this very visceral, disgusting sound. And we find out later that she's shucking oysters. But when you first see it, I'm like, what is the noise she is making? I was like, is she just sucking somebody's eyeball out of their fucking skull, you know?
Ugh.
So Emily is panicked. She's like, there's an elderly woman shucking oysters in the house. Runs upstairs, tells Randall to get dressed. She gets dressed. And Randall's like, there's no way. Like, maybe it's like someone came to the wrong Airbnb. Like, let's just go. We'll just figure it out. And they go downstairs and
we'll figure it out.
Right. Like, if it's an old lady, we'll just talk to her. And which again, I would be like, we're leaving immediately.
No, of course.
And we go downstairs, we see her bucket, and she has disappeared. And so she has heard them in the house, and she peeks her head around the doorway and says, hello. And Randall says, what are you doing in my house? And the woman apologizes and says, I'm so sorry. Doc didn't say anyone would be here. These are good friends of Randall's father, Doc. This is Jane.
Okay.
And her husband, Mitch, who went to the grocery store. And she tells Randall, oh, my God, I knew you as a kid. I haven't seen you, I mean, since you were knee-high to a grasshopper. And it kind of has this, like, moment of, like, oh, my God, you're, like, an adult. And I haven't, you know, I saw you when you were five or whatever when we also had a beach house here. Mitch arrives home, and they're both delighted to see them. And it's, like, this very sweet, before things take a turn.
Yeah.
You're just sort of like, oh, I knew you as a kid, and look at you all grown up. And we try to
I'm getting, like, waves of the visit.
Mitch taught with Randall's dad, like, 20 years ago.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, my God, it's so good to see you. Emily is very apologetic and says, like, I'm so sorry. We didn't realize we could go stay at a hotel. But Mitch and Jane say, no, it's totally fine. We have plenty of room. There's plenty of bedrooms. Let us grill out tonight. Well, you could stay for dinner. And Randall immediately accepts, but Emily is the one who's like, what the fuck's going on? So she goes to get their bags from the car, aka going outside to smoke a cigarette. And she's sitting on a patio, and on the wooden walkway, she sees on the walkway a weird pulsating, like, tendril or worm, like a dying worm. But again, every time she notices something, there's another distraction. Randall comes out, and Emily just immediately starts a fight. He's like, okay, so you didn't even tell your dad that we were coming here, right? Because if you had, he would have told you these people were here. Yeah,
clearly come up.
And Randall says, no, I haven't spoken to my father. Like, things between us have been strained, which is a very rich person thing, because I was like, oh, so I went to the beach house without telling, like, what are you talking about?
Yes.
You know?
Not for us.
Finally, though, Emily's like, we're going to have it out. Also, these are college juniors, and they are very, like, you know, erudite and sensitive and try to explain themselves. And she says, you left school. You broke up with me. I don't get a call. And then I just get some cryptic emails. You come back, and now we're back at it like nothing happened. And Randall's like, I'm really sorry. I just needed some time. I fucked up. But we're here now, and I really want to, like, reconnect and make it up to you. Like, I'm here, and I really am sorry. Okay. So, and that's all that Emily wanted to hear. Is like, okay, great. If you're actually going to, if this is actually happening, let's fucking do this. And it's going to be a weekend at the beach house with Mitch and Jane.
Oh, boy. So, fun with the elders.
That night, Mitch regales them. He's talking about the time that three-year-old Randall ate oysters and then threw up. And he's always hated them. But Emily sort of teases Randall into eating an oyster, which he does, but then she doesn't eat any, meaning she is the only one who doesn't eat an oyster.
Oh, and the oysters came from
the water.
The water,
Allison. The water. Mm-hmm. Mitch asks Emily, oh, so what are you studying? And she tells him she's finishing her junior year in chemistry, and she wants to go to grad school at astrobiology at the University of Washington. And luckily, Mitch says, what's astrobiology?
Thank God.
I was like, please don't breeze past this. I'm like, what?
I've never heard that word.
So, but it's very interesting, and I think, again, sets up what we're going to be dealing with in the movie. And she says, basically, studying organisms on Earth that live in extreme environments to then draw conclusions about possible life on other planets. So, for example...
Okay.
At the bottom of the ocean, there are, you know, certain organisms that could never survive on the surface like we can. What if there's a plant that is more like the bottom of the ocean? You know, sort of like, what if there's something that feeds off of these vents that would die if it was up here? Or if it got up here, who knows what would happen?
Well, I feel like we're going to find out what would happen.
Exactly. And she says,
we're the right combination of elements, the right temperature, the right distance from the sun, and one thing slightly off, and we would be nothing.
And Mitch and Jade are like, oh, wow, that's really cool. Like, you know, we didn't know about it. But then Mitch asks Randall, what do you study? And Randall goes on this very college, like, you know, college just farms graduates. It's just a money-making endeavor, which is true.
Yes, of course.
But then he also was like, what's even the point? Like, what? Like, there's only one inevitable conclusion where it's like marrying, having kids, paying taxes, like sports on Sunday. Meanwhile, Emily clearly wants to be with him. I don't know if marriage is on the table because they're so young. Right. But, like, Emily also gave this very eloquent explanation of what she gets out of her schooling and why she's it's important yes. to her.
She's and like, he's like, that's dumb.
Yeah. And it's like, okay.
All right.
And Mitch says, hey, sports on Sundays is great. I coach a state-level baseball team, you know.
Okay.
But then Randall says, look, I'm just trying to figure it out. Like, and I think that's fair. It's like, I'm just taking some time. I didn't want to just blindly go forward. And Mitch says, you know, it's really complicated and it's really, you should be grateful you have the time to figure it out, but let's keep your mind open to people who don't think like you, meaning Emily. And Jane, they look over and Jane is basically in tears. And she says, you know, you should be thankful for the time you have. And I just think we're so fortunate to be here. It's really nice. And then you remember, oh yeah, all those fucking pills in the bathroom. She's got cancer or some other terminal illness.
Something's not working.
Yeah, so she's really emotional, and you know, the kids are nice to them, and they have a nice dinner. And then Randall goes to get a new bottle of wine from the fridge, but it's just like a half bottle of Chardonnay, and they didn't bring any wine. It's like, I'm really sorry, this is our last bottle, but I do have something else. And Randall pulls out his weed chocolate and asks him, have you ever had edibles before? And the sort of the two couples sort of like break off, and Emily is under her breath, is like, what did they tell your dad? I think it's a little inappropriate. And two, Jade has had a ton of medication. So should we just giving her this chocolate?
Yeah, right.
And then meanwhile, we hear Mitch and Jane are having the same convo, except Jane is like, whatever, we're not driving. But what she's obviously saying is like, I'm dying of cancer. Like,
yeah, let me
have
some fucking edibles. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is funny because this came out in 2019. And I feel like even since then, the idea of like, oh, weed chocolate's like, yeah, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? It's not, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, you're just going to have some of it and then sit around a beach house. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
That's how most of us are going to get through, you know, the near future. And Mitch calls over and is like, so do we cut it into quarters or how do it work? How does it work? So they all have some and they're kind of vibing. Randall puts on some vinyl and Jane asks Emily more about astrobiology. And of course, as we see Jane talk about this, we also see the sediment billowing up from the bottom of the ocean in case we didn't get the connection.
Yeah.
And she says, basically, one of the theories right now about how life formed on the planet Earth was that something foreign, aka something alien, must have entered the environment for nucleic acids to form at all. Like, they can't figure it out. Okay. How else would this have happened? And they think it happened at the bottom of the ocean, and life first started there, and then everything sort of like evolved from there.
Up. Yeah.
And Jane's, of course, stoned, and she's like, "That's crazy. That's so beautiful." Like, she's eating it up, you know. Mitch is cleaning up the kitchen from dinner. It's obviously stone. Allison, he touches the running water, and he notices the texture of the water is different. Mm-hmm. And he has this moment where sort of like the conversation drops out, and he just has ringing in his ears.
Does it look the same?
Looks the same.
Okay.
Again, but something is wrong with the water.
Something is wrong with the water.
And Mitch says out loud to himself, soft water. Allison, the water is so soft. I don't know. Emily tells Jane, you know, she's going to get her diving license so she can actually do dives. And her goal is, like, she wants to study these, like, incredibly hard-to-get-to places in the ocean and find out what is there. And Jane's
what's down there?
And then Jane finally puts it together, like, okay, the places down here, there could be, like, an alien planet, you know?
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, the thing is, like, all the planets we have explored are too harsh to explore, to support life.
Yes.
We're the exception, and that's crazy because we're so delicate. Like, all life on the planet is so delicate. If something were to change, everything would be affected. Again, that's what's going to happen in the
fuck
beach
around
house.
And find out time.
Exactly. And Jane said, what do you think it would have looked like, the planet, like this primordial times? And Emily's like, I'll be honest, it would have been like boiling gas, churning, like chaos, unstable. Like the things that grew first grew in this like roiling pot of elements, basically.
Yes.
which is insane to think about. And here we are recording podcasts.
It's crazy.
Out of
like Chex Mix.
Yeah. From chaos comes Chex Mix. Please pay us, Chex.
Yes. Would love a Chex sponsorship.
Meanwhile, Randall's lying down on the carpet, just listening to, you know, music. And we see sort of like, again, Jane closes her eyes and then we see the bottom of the ocean. It's like malevolent, barren, these plumes of debris just billowing up. And they all kind of vibe out, which is probably what I'm going to do on my 2 weeks off. I'm like, I cannot wait. This sounds incredible.
Take a gummy and chill.
When Emily opens her eyes, she sees that Randall, Mitch, and Jane are out on the patio. And they all run out and they see all this bioluminescence in the water. And it's on the rocks and also in the pine trees near the water. Have you ever seen bioluminescence?
I have never. That and the Northern Lights are two things I'd really like to see.
I'll be honest, I've seen both.
Okay.
I've seen bioluminescence in Delaware, actually. My aunt and uncle live there.
Yes.
And I don't know what they are. I guess it's algae.
It's algae.
Yeah. And then one time growing up, I think it happened multiple times, but I only remember one time you could see the Northern Lights from where I lived in Ohio.
Wow.
And I have this I remember seeing this, like the vivid green of it.
Yeah. Ooh. And I want to see it.
Yeah, I think my uncle went to either Iceland or Greenland. Like, there's some trip
to
you could take. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they went, they didn't see it.
Oh, and that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, the guys are like, sorry. There's just, like, literally no way. This is, like, when it usually happens. And yeah. I guess I assume climate change would affect that, too. Like, when
it's gotta.
Or if you'd see it. So, see it now, I guess.
So, bioluminescence, I'm always hoping to see, but I have yet to.
I've seen it once. It is beautiful in real life. I mean, you can see it online, but it's very beautiful.
Right.
And Mitch is like, oh, my God. And it's this very vivid purple. So it's not like a green blue. It's like this alien looking glowing purple. And Emily says, it's really strange. It's on the rocks and in the trees. It's normally just in the water because it's algae. So it's like it must have been, the microbes must have been swept up by the wind and blown into the trees. So it looks sort of like draping everything. And Jane, because she's tripping, says, could we go down to the water and see it up close? And Mitch says, yeah, let's just like get our shoes on. And Jane runs in to get her shoes. Randall goes inside to change the record. And Mitch chats with Emily while she smokes a cigarette. And he's like, I'm not your father, but you're going to be a scientist. You're smoking cigarettes. It's 2019. Like, you can't be doing this. And she says, you know, I want to be a scientist, but I still do dumb shit. And that's like the truest thing imaginable.
Yeah, I like that.
Inside, Jane's like getting her shoes and she tells Randall, I'm having so much fun. Like, I love this music. Just sounds alive. I feel really great. And Randall's like, all right, so I was right to bring out the chocolate. Okay, you know. And we see Jane exit the front door. Out in the back, Mitch, who assumes Jane is going to come back to the patio and find him.
Yes.
Mitch tells Emily, it kind of smells out here. Like, it has a smell. And I was like, I don't think that it would. He says, well, do you think the sewage is backed up? I felt a little lightheaded and the water was weird. So now they're thinking, oh, is there something?
Contamination. Yeah.
But then he's like, wait a minute, where the fuck did my wife go? I need to look out for her. She's not well. He runs back inside. Jane has left. Jane has walked down out the front door and is walking down to the waterfront alone.
Ooh,
and this isn't great. Just like a blanket or like a layer of bioluminescence. It looks like Spanish moss. Like it's this hanging.
Okay, like it's hanging.
Yeah. It looks like purple cotton sort of. But then when she touches one, you never touch it.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it with your bare hands.
Touch it.
Put a mask on.
Yeah, throw a stick at it.
Put a glove on. At least tell yourself you tried before what's going to happen happens to you. And she touches it, and it comes away slimy. And when she does, all of the particulates start billowing out, and she starts coughing. And I guess it's like microbes. In my mind, it's spores, but microbes are what they
aren't
use.
Those yeah.
Girl, this is not a science podcast.
This is not science.
We don't know anything.
We don't know what we're talking about.
Mitch and Emily run in and say, do you know where Jane went? And he's like, oh, yeah, I think she went outside. I thought she came to get you. Mitch is now in a panic because he's super stoned, and so is Jane. And he doesn't know even where she was. So he runs down to the waterfront to look for his wife. And Emily starts coughing with the door open and says, you know, it's really strong. But she's not clear, like, is what I'm happening because of the weed? and like I'm having some sort of reaction? Is this really as intense? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, is it? Is this also like just in my mind blown out so much? Like, yeah, there's stuff around, but am I seeing or experiencing something like stronger than what the reality is?
Exactly. And Randall is basically falling asleep on the carpet, not listening. And Emily starts to feel woozy and sits down. And when she does, we see that, again, she doesn't really understand the microbes situation. She looks out. It looks like a dense fog is rolling in. Ooh. So it's so thick, she assumes that it's fog. And they hear Mitch calling for Jane out in the fog. Mm. And Emily sort of struggles to, like, potentially go and help them. But she sits down hard on the ground and she says to Randall, I don't feel good. And she passes out. Emily wakes up hours later in the dead of night. It's like 2 a.m. Randall's next to her on the carpet. She shakes him awake. And she gets up and she sees the bathroom doors open a crack. And she sort of approaches. She hears Jane vomiting over and over again. And when she gets close to the door, she sees Mitch's eye appear in the crack before he shuts the door. Up in their bedroom, Emily and Randall collapse. And in the glow of the lamp, Emily sees that the particulates have gotten inside and are sort of glimmering in the lamplight. But she's tired.
Yeah.
Falls asleep. Mm-hmm. And we sort of fade between the dust and the ocean. In the morning, Emily wakes up with a gasp and realizes it's past noon. And she says, I feel like I'm still stoned somehow. And she wakes up Randall and she's like, it's afternoon. We have to get the fuck up. What's going on? And Randall gets up. He's like, I also think I'm stoned. Like, I'm sorry. That was way stronger. I didn't realize like how fucked up we'd be. Jade and Mitch were out of their fucking minds. Maybe. Yeah. Emily goes to the window and we see there's a film on the window and she kind of draws her finger through it. It's of course more of the particulates, but the fog is lifted. So it's a beautiful day. Clearly this was like a nocturnal emission. It was whatever the bioluminescence was up to, during the evening, it has calmed down now that it's daytime again. And they both get dressed and Randall's like, I'm really sorry. I thought they would enjoy it. I didn't realize it'd be so messed up. And she's like, yeah, well, she's on a ton of fucking medication. They're elderly. Yeah,
and like they're old and they're probably not consuming a lot of marijuana.
Exactly. We fucking fucked them up. Emily gets to the bottom of the steps and sees Jane again sitting at the table looking out the picture window. She calls to her. Jane doesn't turn around. She approaches Jane and sees all of her pill bottles are open. And her pills are all over the table. And she approaches Jane, who again, we haven't seen her face yet. And Emily says, where's Mitch? And Jane turns to her completely dead-eyed and asks, Mitch? Allison, what would you do?
What would you do?
I'm calling the hospital to come get her and the police to look out for Mitch, and I'm hightailing it the fuck out of there.
We're getting out of there.
We're hitting the bricks, baby.
Best case scenario, you inadvertently got an elderly woman so high that she has had some sort of mental or physical
break,
and she needs care, and her husband, who knows her medical situation and you don't, is nowhere to be found, and also you're 21, like 20, right. 21, like you are not somebody who has any experience to know how to handle this.
No. Yeah, call professionals, like, again.
Yeah.
I don't love calling the cops, but, like, to keep an eye out for a guy and to come pick up a lady and take her to a hospital, like, fine.
Right, and I mean, like, hopefully the paramedics will show up, they won't immediately shoot Jane, but, you never know.
You never know.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary taste with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Ruined is brought to you by Factor. It is so hard to plan and prepare and eat healthy meals every single night of the week, but I'm super excited about Factor. You get every meal is fresh, never frozen, and is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I mean, this is exactly what I need. It's spring. I want to do stuff. I want to stay fueled, but I don't want to waste any time preparing or shopping or doing any of the stuff that it is to feed yourself as an adult.
Absolutely, and I feel like we've all had the experience of like getting home and being like, oh my God, I can't cook an entire meal. So for me, Factor is a great option in terms of like having food there, like having food on hand. It's also me not wasting groceries. You know what I mean? You can imagine, you see what I'm like on the pod. You can imagine what my fridge looks like. In this way, I have prepared meals ready to go. They're healthy. They are waiting for me.
And it's great because you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. So, like, if you're going to be eating out a lot, you can do fewer. If you're, like, in a kind of a vegan mode, you can do vegan. And you can pause and reschedule deliveries all to just suit your lifestyle. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/ruined50 and use the code RUINED50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code RUINED50 at factormeals.com/ruined50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So, of course, Emily's like, okay, great. So we broke an elderly sick woman. So we got that going for us. And we see Jane sort of get up with a lurch. And she's still in her nightgown. And she painfully, like, hunches over, like, sort of climbs her way up to the stairs. Right as Randall's coming down, and he's trying to say, like, oh, do you need help? Or are you okay? She doesn't reply or acknowledge them. Just sort of hunches over and pulls herself up the banister.
What is up with the water?
So they're like, we got to find Mitch. She is taking a turn for the worse. We poisoned this woman or something. So, but luckily they're also going to put on their bathing suits because they're going to go down the beach. So they go down the wooden stairs to the beach. No Mitch. And Randall's thinking, did he just leave? Like, why wouldn't he leave a note? Like, did he go to the grocery store? You know, your wife, like, she was throwing up all night, you know?
Yeah.
And Emily says, could we just sit down on the beach for a minute? It's so hot. I'm so tired. And they sort of strip down. They lay out and look out over the ocean. And Randall says, well, maybe Mitch went swimming. Maybe he'll be back in a minute. And they both lay down and start falling asleep. And Randall jerks up. His stomach hurts. And I'm assuming that's because he had an oyster. I think we're supposed to assume that he doesn't sit well with him.
Yes.
And he says, wait here. I'm going to go take the shit of a lifetime, and I don't need you to be in the house. Like, I'm about to blast off.
I appreciate his honesty and warning.
He said it's a guy thing, which I think is funny. But also, I'm like, I do like the idea of a shit so insane that it must be gendered. Like, it was like, the only way I can convey to you this is to conjure the specter of gender into this. It's very funny to me. Unfortunately, Allison, when he runs off, we see that he leaves his shoes there and he puts his car keys in the shoe. So now we know the car keys are there in the shoe on the beach.
Okay.
He runs in. He runs to the restroom, of course. He starts feeling the water in the restroom, Allison. And not only is it thick, it's thick as slime. It's like, it looks like saliva. Like, it's thick. And he looks, and it's not draining. It's collecting. It's full of particulates and, like, white filaments, like, sort of clogging the drain.
Oh, boy.
Justin Allison, he hears a loud thud, like someone falling down upstairs.
Oh, well, guess who that is.
And Randall, because he's struggling to find his path, but he is a good person. He's like, I guess I gotta go check on Jim.
You do.
Meanwhile, down on the beach, Emily's staring at the ocean, and suddenly Mitch just fucking appears right next to her. And he says, why is there no one else here? Isn't it strange there's no one else on this beach? Like, not even one other house? And he says, it's always been beautiful here, but something feels really off. I've never felt like this before here. And he sits down, and he's about to spill his guts. He's like, the reason I brought Jane here is, like, this is going to be our last vacation. She's terminally ill. And I really wanted to have a really good time. And I think she had a really great time last night, but it's just, he says,
when you see someone change, you know, won't get any better. There's no going back. It scares me to death.
And Emily says, well, basically, like, so how much time she got? Or, like, what are we talking about? And Mitch doesn't even reply. He says, you know, we're so fortunate, and it's so nice out today. And Mitch gets up, and he's kind of staggering around, like, still acting stoned. So, again, she just assumes, oh, he's still stoned, too. And she says, are you okay? Is everything all right with you? He's like, honestly, yeah, I'm going to go for a swim. Allison, she watches him take off his shirt, his swim trunks on, walk into the water. And he just keeps going and going, and he's getting deeper and deeper. And Emily's watching and getting more and more upset. And she calls to him, like, Mitch, Mr. Turner? Allison, he keeps going until just his head's above the water.
Oh, no.
And then it dips below, and he disappears.
Oh, God.
Emily runs, like, sprints down to the waterfront. But he, first of all, he's super far out. Second of all,
right.
He's gone, right? There's no way.
Right.
He did that deliberately.
Yeah, that wasn't like,
yeah.
Oh, boy, there's a riptide. Like, he chose to walk out until he was out.
He marched his way into the deep. There's not much you can do about that. Meanwhile, Randall gets to Jane's door, and here's Jane moaning and coughing and groaning. You know what you're doing behind a closed door in a horror movie.
Yeah, 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 of course.
He listens to the door, and he's like, well, fuck, and he opens it. When Emily runs down and gets to the waterfront, she steps on a pile of slime. She looks down, and it looks like a Portuguese man-of-war jellyfish. But it looks like a jellyfish you've never seen before.
Like gelatinous, kind of?
Yeah, so it's basically like a big lump. I would describe it as is the size and color of if a dog was turned outside, inside out.
Okay.
So it's like fleshy pink and the size of a small dog. And it has sort of like ridges on the top, and then it has underneath, it has sort of a pile of tentacles that she steps right in.
Also, girl, look where you're walking.
Girl, you could have seen that.
You could have seen that.
You were far enough away.
The size of a, like, looking like an inside-out small dog with tentacles.
Exactly.
Like, you're not missing that.
This, yeah, it's not like golf ball. This is not, it's not even right. Football. This is a sizable entity that you are putting your foot in. She looks down just in time to see one of the tentacles, which is sentient or can move on its own, like a worm, enters the skin of her foot. It drives itself into the sole of her foot, Allison.
No.
Yeah, you hate to see it.
I hate to see it.
Needless to say, Mitch is gone, and now she can basically not walk on her foot because there's a worm in it. So she starts dragging herself across the sand, screaming, makes it to the wooden steps, but it's one of those where it's like, it's essentially three stories up. Like, it's like an insane number of steps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She has to crawl her way up the steps, Allison, screaming for Randall the whole time. He can't hear. She gets to the house, she gets into the kitchen, and she examines her foot wound, and she sees the head of the worm duck back into the wound on her foot.
No.
And so she starts looking under the kitchen sink, and she finds distilled white vinegar for cleaning. And she's a braver woman than I. She just fucking dumps it onto her worm foot.
I mean, I think in the moment of crisis, I could do the stuff that I can't imagine doing.
Yeah, and worth a shot. Like, I mean, like, I don't know if vinegar is really going to do it. It's going to be like, oh, this is delicious.
It won't make it, like, it might hurt more, but it's not going to, like, make the things worse moving forward.
Then she grabs a pair of tongs and a butter knife and starts pulling the worm out of her foot.
Oh, my God.
It is insanely long. It looks like a big strand of spaghetti. And she drops it on the ground, and it writhes around. Fortunately, she finds a first aid kit. She bandages her foot and takes one of Jane's painkillers. Very smart. I would have just been screaming the whole time.
No, I would have found the pills.
She gets up. She changes. She puts on a pair of her shoes. And as she does, she's changing in her room. We see Randall crawl by on the hallway floor on his stomach.
Okay.
And she turns just in time to see him sliding by, and he runs over, and he's sort of gagging and struggling, and he looks behind her, and we see Jane, whose eyes are a hard-boiled egg white, crawling her way out of her room behind them. No. And Allison, at this point, I gotta ask you, who will survive?
Who will survive?
Only Emily. And it's not going to be good. Like, it's going to be bad. Mitch is gone. Jane is almost gone. Randall seems not long for this world. And I think just because she didn't eat the oyster, so she hasn't ingested this thing, that she has a chance. Though it did get into her foot, and we don't know if it's all out.
Exactly. These are all excellent points that you're putting together, Allison.
I don't know what happens to Murray Bartlett and the 19-year-old who he takes photos of at the other beach house.
Murray Bartlett gets killed. I'm calling it now. Murray Bartlett. Yeah. Also, what is Murray Bartlett from? Because you keep saying Murray Bartlett like I should know that name, and I don't know who Murray Bartlett is.
He was in The White Lotus. That was his, like, breakout.
Wait, which? The first or the second
season? The first one.
You know, I didn't see the first one.
Armand.
I only watched the second one because I'm a maniac.
And then he was in did you watch the Hulu show about Chippendales?
I did not.
He was in that as well. And then he was also in an episode of Sex and the City in, like, 2001.
Okay, but which episode? Because I have seen Sex and the City.
It was, like, season 2 or 3. He's, like, a handsome gay guy that Carrie meets at a gay bar who then, like, I think comes on to her later.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, oh, maybe not. That gay straight guy that Charlotte goes out with, but I think I'm thinking
No. It's a Carrie friendship, I think. I don't know. But he was, like, in this old episode of Sex and the City and then, like, kind of had a
Good for him.
Good for him.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar for the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Allison, luckily, Randall and Emily make it down the stairs, only for Jane to literally barrel roll after them. Like, they kind of struggled out, and then you just see her body fucking fly down the stairs. They got to the patio, and luckily they're able to shut the door, then tie the door closed with a hose. It doesn't really matter, because seconds later, Jane, who again is a terminally ill cancer patient and an elderly woman, fucking just punches through the glass. An unfortunate development.
What?
Emily grabs Randall and says, "Where are the keys?" And he says, "I don't know." We know. They're in his shoes, but they're on the beach.
Yeah.
And neither of them have, like, because they're so freaked out at what's happening.
Right, of course. It's like, I wouldn't be like, must have the car keys on me. Like, you know, I would definitely also leave them. I would have probably just hurled them into the ocean by accident or something.
100%. Knowing you, knowing me. Emily's able to help Randall, who has been attacked by Jane, but also it just seems like maybe he's also been a little Janeified himself. He might be sort of headed down the same path. They run to the next house, bangs on the door. There's nobody there. And Randall says, "I feel horrible. I have to go to a hospital. Everything hurts." And Emily says, "What did she do to you? Like, what happened?" He says, "I tried to help her, but I don't know what happened. It's like I got knocked out. I don't remember." Allison, night is falling. Emily looks up and sees the fog start to roll in again.
Oh, no. It's back.
And just as she does, they hear a gargling noise. And they turn, and it's the resident of the house they're in front of, crawling on his belly towards them, his eyes dead white. So he's already been... The microbes have already gotten to him. He's already been beach housed by this point.
Yes.
Emily wisely says, "We need a car," grabs Randall, and they just start fucking making it down the street. It's like, we just had to put some distance between us and Jane and this guy.
And the fog.
And the fog is so thick, they're starting to choke and cough. Because obviously, it's not fog. It is particulates. It's spores. Randall collapses because he cannot walk. But she says to him, "Look, there's a flashing light in the distance. There, someone has to be there." Now, I assumed it was like a train trestle or a radio tower, both of which no one has to be there.
No.
Allison, is a crashed EMS pickup truck, which then reveals to us that this has already been, like, this has already expanded. This is not just them. There's not only someone called for help, and also the person going to bring help was affected because there's nobody there.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But Emily gets in the driver's side and tries to use the radio for help. And she's begging and she's like trying to give their location. And eventually a voice kind of cuts in and out and says, "Are you near the water?" She says, "Yes, we're on such and such road." And the voice replies, "Exposed. Everyone was exposed. Get indoors. Seal the windows. Don't breathe it in." And she says, "Breathe what in the fog?" And the voice, of course, says, "It's not fog." And she loses the connection. The worst timing to lose a connection. She gets out and sort of limps back to Randall, who's looking real worse.
Rough.
And Randall says, "Maybe it wasn't such a great idea to come to the beach." This isn't on you, Randall. I don't think you could take this. It's not an L. You couldn't be like,
"We should have known not to go to the beach house because, you know, I haven't been talking to my dad much. And also some outer space or deep under the sea microbes are flooding the area and killing everybody and or our aliens.
And are turning them into some sort of, like, undersea slime zombie. They get to the first house they can see, and Emily tries to call inside. No answer. She sort of makes her way to the back of the building. And here's my thing at this point in the movie. They've already been choking on the fog. How much exposure do you need? Like, they've been out in the fog for at least 20 minutes.
Hours.
I'm sorry. Like last night they were exposed to it. Yeah. Today they've been exposed to it. I just don't know, you know. To wit, Emily starts to feel queasy and her vision's blurring. And Randall taps her on the shoulder and she's like, cover your eyes. And then just uses a board to bash in the window to this house. But then you're like, well, but the window's bashed in.
The whole thing is like, it's got to be sealed. But I guess you could go like into an upstairs room and seal that.
Yeah. And that's what she's going to do. And she's trying to call out to see if anyone's there. There's no reply. And she pushes Randall up through into the window and hauls herself in. Luckily, the house still has electricity. But as they walk towards the living room, Randall says it smells like rotten eggs, and they see all this overturned garbage strewn on the floor. So again, whoever was here also had some sort of fog-related crisis.
Yes.
Randall runs to the landline. It's dead. Emily starts going through the drawers looking for car keys, and that seems insane to me. Like, if these are beach people, they're just going to be on the counter or, like, in someone's purse. They're not going to put it in a drawer. I'm sorry. Yeah. Allison, she turns on the water, and the water runs out. It has the consistency and appearance of cum.
Not what I thought you were going to say.
You hate to see it.
Oof, yeah. A cum faucet? No thanks.
This Airbnb comes complete, 4 bedrooms, full cum faucet. That's for somebody. There's somebody out there looking for that.
There is somebody who's into that. Enjoy it. But a real cum faucet, not whatever the hell this nightmare is.
Yeah, and she's trying to rationalize, like, it's not fog. Then maybe it's the algae bloom has become airborne, or is a chemical spill affecting the air? And Randall says, well, either way, we're fucked, right?
Which I thought was like, it doesn't matter what it is.
Luckily, in the house, they have gallons of bottled water, so she gives Randall some to drink. And Randall says, I could feel it churning inside me.
Yeah.
So much in the way that, like, the alien material came to primordial Earth and was sort of churned into life, I think we're to think, like, this is entering the atmosphere of the human body.
Of the human body, okay.
Churning and creating some new life. I know, and it's like, what could he do about that?
Nope, nothing, really.
He says, oh, the TV. And she runs over and turns it on. It's just the emergency broadcast symbol. They have no other fucking information available. They also find a radio, and she's able to turn into an AM station where somebody is broadcasting, and they're broadcasting from the Oceana Research Institute. Shout out to them. Hopefully, if this happens, they'll be able to broadcast. And they said,
the microbes have been preserved in rock.
What is
and
that?
The Earth's heat freed the bacterial
form. It's an AM station.
You guessed it. Climate change.
Oh, boy.
And it is spreading rapidly. And Randall says, we're in hell, and then we're fucked, because Randall, like, knows what's going on, you know?
Right.
And Emily says, no, let's think about this logically. If they're broadcasting, that means other people are still alive. We're still alive. We're going to barricade the door and block off the window, and if we make it to morning, then the fog will roll out, and we can get the fuck out of town. It's the best plan you can come up with. What else are you going to do? Randall tells her, I'm not going to make it to the morning. And I think it's like, we both know that.
Yeah, we all know that.
Emily is in love with him and is not going to hear it. She takes duct tape and she seals off the door to the bedroom where they came in. So it's sort of sealing off the doors in order to create a airtight space to the best of the ability. But again, I'm like, doesn't it come in through the ducts? Like, most windows aren't airtight.
Especially like old beach houses.
Exactly. Yeah, like some old floorboards, you know. And on the radio, they keep getting, like, in and out, but they hear the announcer say, those who become affected do not die. They change form. No. Emily sees there's a basement door and looks down and sees, oh, there's 2 oxygen tanks, like a scuba diver would use. Mm-hmm. And as a scuba diver, she's like, oh, we could breathe this oxygen. So she goes, grabs one, hauls it upstairs. And as she does, we hear the announcer says, it will continue until our planet becomes like all the others. And Randall starts vomiting up the milky slime. Randall is starting to change form.
Oh, no.
And he vomits into his hand, Allison. He looks, and it looks like a pale, like a beige baby jellyfish in his sputum.
No.
Emily
turns. Not that.
Emily goes to the basement for the second tank, only to hear a chewing sound. And she turns to see a dead body. Mm-hmm. Ostensibly one of the homeowners, And then there's another figure hunched over the dead body. A figure that is further along the transformation compared to Jane or Randall. It is a eyeless, noseless, humanoid monster covered in yellow-brown slime.
And ew.
And it turns to look at her. Luckily, she's able to fucking run upstairs and lock the door.
Okay. But, like, how you that thing's in there.
Also, Randall's eyes have started to go white, and he is violently thrashing around on the ground. He is changing. And he ends up, he's vomiting up his, you know, his milk mixture. And he starts crawling, crawling towards her zombie style. And Emily sobs, and I wrote, well, I guess marriage and taxes are looking pretty good right now, huh, Randall?
Mm.
Wow, we never know where our life is going to go, but you didn't plan on this, bud.
Yeah, Sunday sports sounds a lot better than throwing up weird baby jellyfish from outer space or the bottom of the sea.
There, by the grace of God, Randall lunges for Emily, and she hits him with the oxygen tank and ends up beating him to death, killing him.
Smart.
What else can you do? Exactly. She sobs and she falls to the ground. And just then, under the TV stand, sees a pair of car keys. We'll allow it, but come on now.
Come on.
Come on now. At least put him in a little bowl near the table or near the door.
Yeah.
She takes one of the oxygen tanks with her to the car, breathing through it. And luckily, the car starts. Unfortunately, Allison, I don't know if you remember, there's an insanely thick fog outside.
Right. Like, what?
She tries to drive down, but it's like a windy sort of rural road. It's not like a proper road. She drives for about, I'm going to say 100 feet, misses a turn, and slams into a tree, totaling the car. She drags herself out of the car and collapses. And we see that she's dragged herself to the waterfront. So she's basically on the ocean.
Oh.
And she's gasping and choking. And we see the foam rise to the top of the water, churning. And it made me think of the phenomenal program, I Think You Should Leave.
Yes.
Every time they show it, I realize, oh, I keep thinking that it's a cosmic gumbo. And we see the cosmic gumbo of this primordial alien microbe emerging to the surface and affecting the world as it exists. A delicate world that can be thrown off balance by anything, probably human-made. And in the morning, we see sort of the blue sparkling sea, like in the beginning. And the fog is cleared, and Emily is lying on the beach, and her eyes are turning white. Mm. And she's telling herself over and over again, don't be scared. Don't be scared. And then a wave washes over her, and when it recedes, she's gone. Oh. Allison, the beach house.
Oh, wow.
Allison, what are some fatal mistakes you think people made in the beach house?
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, obviously, going to the beach house did not turn into the spring break they were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but eating the oyster.
It couldn't have helped.
Yeah. It sped the process up because then it was just like, well, it's in me now. But I mean, how do you avoid air and water? Like, that's kind of it.
You can't. Yeah, that's the end of it, is like, you literally cannot. And then after that, it's like, Emily did everything right. She kept her wits about her. She helped Randall. She was trying to piece it all together. There is nothing you could do.
There is nothing.
And I do love these kinds of movies because that the realism and the inevitability always gets me.
Yeah. That's the, like, whew. You did the best you could and you still ended up like a white-eyed sea zombie swept out into the ocean. So
yeah, you sure did. You sure did.
And then at least they got high.
Yeah, and they had a nice night together. They reconnected. They were rekindling their romance. You know, people go out in worse ways. I mean, maybe not, but definitely they had a nice time at the beach house. And what more could you ask
from a world? Like it.
Yeah.
Certainly different than the movie I watched a trailer for.
Which now we have to do.
We do have to do it. It was, like, scary, so.
And then finally, where would you put the beach house on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I think also because this is about the imminent danger of climate change, it's getting a high. I'm going to give this like a 7.5.
I'm going to give this a 7. I agree. Yeah. I think, I mean, just with climate change, continuing quicker than scientists, but also like scientists have been trying to tell us. It's not like this
for decades.
I mean, as long as we've been alive, like at least.
Yes.
I mean, and then you see whatever. Exactly. Like this is not something new. Scientists have been trying to tell us, but it sure does seem over the past couple of months that we're hitting a different inflection point. And, yeah, I agree. Watching this, it's like, well, I don't know if it'll be this, but also, didn't they find like some 500,000 year old worm that that came out of permafrost? And then when they brought it in the lab, they said it immediately started having babies.
No,
I know.
That sucks.
And I'm sorry. I gave them your home address. Is that okay?
Oh, they're gonna ship them to me, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to drive over there in their little worm truck.
In the worm truck, the wormmobile.
And they asked if they could rent your mouth as an Airbnb, and I was like, I don't know. But, yeah.
Well, there's not a cum faucet in there, if that's what they're looking for.
Oh, well, then they're not interested.
No, they're like, and we have to take out the trash? We're out.
Okay, sorry. It was a 46,000-year-old worm that came back to life and started to immediately have babies.
No,
and I also don't like the use of the word babies.
That. Yeah, babies.
Like, it's like, call them like little wormlets or maggots.
Yeah,
like,
something.
The idea of a little baby, we're having a baby is.
A baby?
Just
no.
Doesn't sit right with me.
Nope.
Okay, out of the Siberian permafrost. Yeah, there's just going to be more of this. We've talked about this before, but it's like the spread of Lyme because of like ticks. Yeah. There is now warmer climates, higher latitudes, but so ticks don't die. So more people get Lyme. People are getting like whatever that virus is that causes alpha gal syndrome, where you can't process meat or dairy. Like there are things that we as people who are not scientists,
yes,
maybe we're just here for the ride. We're just here to take
for a good time, not a long time.
So fill up those glasses that come faucet and have a good time in the meantime, because this is all a beach house, baby.
Yeah. And a quick note on good times. We don't have
Excellent segue.
Thank you. We don't have a ton of hard details yet, but we are planning the Lizzie Borden house trip, and it is coming. We are doing it soon. We'll give you details as we have them. We've got some things in the mix. Thank you all for joining our Patreon, for listening to episodes, for being fans and supporting and coming to live shows and all of the things that this podcast is. But, like, we are going to the Lizzie Borden house. We achieved our goal, and we are going to ruin my life.
Yeah, and we're going to do some dumb, spooky shit. Fucking dumb shit. Dumb, gross shit. And I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, two gals in the void in a house.
Two gals screaming in the void. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Hope this didn't ruin your vacation at the beach house. And if it did, what are you going to do? You chose to listen to this, you maniac.
Yeah. Opted in.
And until next time, we love you. And
we love you.
Please keep it spooky. Don't forget to follow us at Ruin Podcast and Crooked Media for show updates. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolati.
Ever wonder how you could cope in a real-life survival situation? What if you were stranded in the jungle facing an adorable but aggressive bear?
On the new podcast, Survive or Die Trying, host Cameron Esposito, who you might know from ABC's A Million Little Things, will teach you how to survive everything from those outlandish situations to everyday challenges. Each week, Cameron and a guest will give you the lowdown on how to endure anything life can throw at you, from the downright ridiculous to the all-too-real, from shark attacks and zombie apocalypse to tsunamis and bad breakups. Survive or Die Trying is your one-stop shop to prepare for the absolute worst-case scenarios.
It's the infotainment podcast you won't want to miss. Listen to Survive or Die Trying now, wherever you get your podcasts.